What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Forever Dog.
It's always weird when we just, without really even trying to plan it, do
there's a
like,
theme
theme like a, like all right, now we got two war historical black war films in a row. First we did World War II, and now we got World War One.
Let's stay in this. I know we don't have a plan for the next few, but let's stay in this. Let's keep doing war movies. How many war movies is left?
I think we did them all.
I mean, we did. We already did Glory. We did Red Tails.
Let's revisit.
Spike Lee did one. Was it Mount St. Anna? Was it?
I haven't seen that.
We haven't done that.
I haven't seen that.
That is true.
Was it Mount?
Yeah.
All right. We doing it.
Wait a second.
The war saga.
Is that?
No.
Is there a Vietnam? Oh, yeah, we did that already, too. We did the Black Vietnam War.
No, we got to see. Wait, we got to see the war movie that takes place in the galaxy. You know what I'm saying? It has all people of colors, like super diverse, you know.
You're talking about Star Wars?
I'm talking about Eternals.
You're trying to make an excuse for us to do the Eternals.
I mean, it's mad diverse. It got like... I mean, honestly, it's got like...
Okay, I know it's diverse, you know, but who is the lead
at a movie?
It feels like it's the Stark guy. Okay, no.
What I read was Gemma was the lead, but you see all the trail. She's the Asian actress.
Who does she play?
She's already in the MCU, right?
So that's the tricky part. So technically, like they said, the movies
are they tricking like us? Her?
Okay. But I think that dude is the most
recognizable,
like, one of the most famous. Him and Angelina. Well, no, they have mad people.
I mean, I've seen Kamal in the trailer way more than I've seen Gemma.
That's true. I think she, like, I literally read that she's supposed to be the...
Gemma Chan plays, she's Minerva in Captain Marvel. So she's already in the MCU.
It's because she got, like, killed so quick.
Gemma. There you go.
Thank you.
She's also in Transformers The Last Knight, the best Transformers movie after the first one.
No. No, it is. Stop.
Bumblebee's pretty good.
That's not a Transformers movie. That's Bumblebee. That's his own thing.
Right. Yeah, otherwise that would be Transformers what?
No, that would be Transformers like 7. 6 or 7. 6 or 7. The Last Knight's pretty good though. 5.
I never seen that one. I never seen it last night. That's the one where he's like dating like an underage girl.
Oh, black person will lead a Transformers movie. Would it be
the
like,
next one? The next one.
It's gonna black, be the next it's one.
Black, it's a black woman. Hold on, brother. So Bray, so funny.
Wait,
guys.
The next one?
The Beast Wars. I'm actually dead.
The Beast
serious.
Wars.
Yeah, hold on. The Beast.
Hell yeah.
Damn. Here I was thinking it was gonna be like the 24th.
No. Hope I can tell you, they cast the two leads.
Gerard is so deep in this, he missed your transition.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know what James is talking about either. I was just guessing which Transformers.
You know what I'm talking about.
No,
you
I was
know
just
what I'm talking about.
You know, there have been like, what, 7 or whatever Transformers movies, and I was like, when's a black person going to lead one? The 24th?
Well, no, it's not going to be the 24th. It's going to be the next one because Dominique Fishback is in it.
I'm deeply upset about this. Oh, it's Anthony Ramos and Dominique Fishback.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't going to be no black dude, but
Anthony, though. We got Anthony.
I'll say 9 is definitely better than the 24th.
Okay.
Transformers.
But it's not the 9th. It's like the 6th. So.
No, it's definitely more than the 6th.
Y'all
and less than the
let's
24.
Get out of this cold.
Okay, all right. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Drum Milligan. Black actors. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I am a man.
Yeah.
I am a man.
That's real.
Yo, that part was fire.
Yeah. That's real.
Beautiful.
That's real.
Wow.
That was real.
Yeah, that's because this the movie we in right now.
This is the movie we're in right now.
This is the energy we about to have the whole.
That's exactly right. Person you're listening to right now, who does sound like
tired,
the corporal, MP, military police, the man in charge, but you know, in between both worlds. what he gonna do? We don't know. That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Why are you smiling at me?
And the next one?
I feel like I know. I just feel you smile. Oh my goodness. This voice is of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice that sounds highly decorated, severely educated.
Did you say severely educated?
On a deep level.
like so educated it hurts.
It's like it's a lot. You're like, man, that's some intensely educated. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know when somebody educating you, like, oh, that's it's a lot happening.
No, we don't know.
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
You're like, hold up, wait, it's a lot. Like, oh, there's a lot of education happening.
Okay, and what's whose voice is that?
This voice. It's James the Third. You know what I'm talking about?
This voice.
yeah.
This voice.
Hey, look, we're a film review podcast. We talk about the films of leading Black actors in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
And today we are reviewing the 24th. It's an American historical drama, military type film. It stars Trey Byers, friend of the podcast, Tosin, who's in, I guess, every movie we're going to review now. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce these names. Here we go.
Wait, we got Bashir.
Bashir,
how do you say Bashir's last
Salahuddin?
Name? I used to know it. He going to kill me.
Salahuddin?
Oh, man. He won't know.
Somebody needs to tell him.
He won't know. He'll never know. He'll never
anybody hear. Listen to this.
And don't then you the him. Woman from How to Get Away with Murder, is it Aja?
I think
it's Aja.
I think it's Aja. And also, this one dude was, oh, we also had, I got to stop saying this. It is terrible. But we had Bubba.
Yeah, Michael T. Williamson.
Bubba, who?
Michael T. Williamson.
That's the man, the actor's name.
Lorenzo Yearby? He was great. His whole monologue at the end, I was like, damn.
Oh, that was tough.
Also, this movie was well acted. I appreciated this very much.
McRae.
This also an actor who I don't know personally, but I feel like everyone knows him. Joseph Lee Anderson. He had a small part in this, but he plays The Rock's dad on Young Rock.
Young Rock? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He plays, yeah.
There's also Cranston Johnson. This cast is stacked.
I was out here, these motherfuckers, like, they was in the action figures. I was like, man, how ripped. I was like, these, like, how, like, I'm pretty sure the men were in days.
My dude, Trey.
Trey had was too like, many muscles.
It was like, I was like, what?
Offensive amount of muscles. Like, I was like,
they were built like this back in the day? Come on, man. You can't put a...
What is going on?
He put in a Mercedes-Benz.
Is he in a superhero film yet? Bruh, what's, he why needs not?
Be. He needs to be.
He was in Selma.
Yeah. I didn't watch Empire.
So I watched the first two seasons of Empire.
Oh, right, because he's Andre.
He's the only one who doesn't sing.
He's the...
Wow.
He's like the eldest son, right?
Mm-hmm. He's the one who knows business, but he's
hold
not
up. Let me go to IMDb Pro because his last credit on IMDb is the 24th. And
same. It's
I don't
it
like this. Let me go to Pro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This dude is too damn good for them to not be like, I have 12 projects lined up. He probably do.
They usually have upcoming projects in the regular IMDb.
They have some, but depending on the stage of
development is sometimes only on IMDb. Mm.
I mean, he's really good.
Yeah. The 24th came out last year, which is not a real year, as we all know.
Not a real year.
Especially for movies. So because of that, I mean, does it even have a box office? Let's see. No, it doesn't. Doesn't have a box office because there really wasn't a box office last year, as we all know. It got swallowed, I would say, in terms of, you know, awards, movies. It did not really register in that sense. It's hard to really, yeah, it's hard to really say what people thought of it because I feel like very few people watched it. We obviously didn't review it for the podcast mm-hmm. last year. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 79% from critics, which is a pretty good score. It's not a great score, but it's a good score. And an 83% from audience, but it's only 28 reviews of critics, and it says fewer than 50 ratings from the audience score. So wow. It's like the people who saw it liked it, but it seems like very few people saw it.
Also, it's crazy because Trey co-wrote this with the director, which I think this is a directorial debut. It was the guy
Kevin
who wrote...
Wilmot.
Yeah, because he did Black Klansman, director. Right? Oh, yeah, he wrote Black Klansman and The Five Bloods.
The Five Bloods.
Oh, damn. This dude's
the
a good writer.
Bloods. The Five Bloods.
All right, mean, there's nothing on IMDb Pro, but that don't mean shit. He probably got stuff in the pipeline.
I mean, it does mean something. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's just like, yeah. It's like he's not getting... He's not a hot commodity
right.
like some other actors are right now.
It's messed up because he's really good in this. Really good in this.
This only had the only thing even this movie has one awards nomination, and it's an Image Awards for Outstanding Independent Motion Picture. And that's it. And it didn't win, obviously. So
what won?
I don't know. You're gonna make me look up what won the 2021 Image Award for Outstanding Independent Picture.
I look. No, but it's interesting because it's one of those movies where, like, yeah, I guess we talk about this, but yeah, but it's so very stacked with up and coming people, who
right?
Technically, aren't up and coming. Most of them are actually like working actors, and it's just. I was trying to see who produced it and things of that nature. And I feel like this movie, you kind of need the gloss. Like, you need, like, the A24, the Annapurna. You need, like, that this movie is important, even right. though it's, like, a new up-and-coming person you never heard of. Or
by
whatever.
The way, The Banker is what won Outstanding Independent Motion Picture.
Wait, didn't it have, like, Sam Jackson and Anthony Mackie?
Yeah, but it was an indie, though.
Yeah. Right.
Wait, was it? I thought it was Apple TV.
Yeah,
well, they distributed.
Yeah, you know that independent company, Apple Television, that startup, up and coming,
wow,
company that I think the most money in the world
out of all of the streamers. It
has the most
everybody.
Hardcore cash.
Wow.
Well, I guess it's just like, oh, if the movie was made under $50 million, it's called independent. Anyway, whatever. We don't need to get into that
with Sam Jackson.
And Anthony Mackie.
And Captain America.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, look, I'll start with the initial thoughts.
All right, let's do it.
I feel like I might as well, because you know I don't like movies set in wartime.
That's what
he says.
That's what
and
you
I
said.
Typically,
you like Red Tails.
I did like Red Tails. That was
and
pretty
you,
good.
You liked and, A Soldier Story.
And A Soldier Story, I liked that. And
I think
I liked
you liked
1917.
Too.
Okay.
And Glory's pretty good.
Okay. All right, so five.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm not saying it's pretty. I'm not saying that Glory's pretty good. You all know what I'm saying. I'm just co-signing.
Yeah. Okay.
I like this a lot as well. I like this movie a lot. I wasn't
so you
expecting
like war movies.
I wasn't. Okay. No, I don't.
Sounds like you do.
I don't. There are war movies that I enjoy watching. Mm-hmm. But I don't like movies set with bullets flying and stuff.
Right. To be fair, it's a military story, but it's not a war story.
Right. Until it becomes...
At least not a traditional war.
Right. Yeah, not traditional war.
Yeah. I really liked it. I thought the acting was really good. They really did a great job to like make you sort of feel the tension and the, you know, and of all of those moments. I think about this every time we watch these movies, though. Sometimes these white actors, the white actors that are like,
yeah,
that gotta be super racist. It's just like, damn, like, I don't, you didn't say no. Like, you didn't, like, you weren't like, I don't like this. You were just like ready to say all these lines. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Maybe saying, sometimes.
I mean, most of these white actors are, I don't know them. So I bet they're worse than people who said no.
Well, you know, I remember watching the movie with Sam Jackson. He did a night? No. It was Sam Jackson and a dude who, and James Woods, and he has to say all this racist shit. And then if you follow him on Twitter, you realize, oh, he is a super racist.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, he is terrible. Mm.
And more power to the actors that like don't have this belief and are able to sort of step into those shoes and like and deliver good performances. But like this movie made me the depth to which they went and these like extreme close-ups and stuff, like it just I really felt the racism, and that made me so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think as it's supposed to, you know. And I don't know, like I was not super familiar with this history, and I was just like really thrown by it all, and thought it was very beautifully told. Like, you know, getting as many perspectives as we can get, and like, you know, having Trey's historical character, you know, but like being like, you know, he didn't shoot a. He never shot his gun, and like he wanted to, and like how complicated that was for him. I don't know, the whole thing. I just thought was really good, and I want more stories like this to be told and to get recognized. I mean, I appreciate the Image Award nomination that they got, right? But it's like I feel like more places should recognize movies like this, because you know, there's a lot to be celebrated about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go. This movie was acting was great. It was good. Very tough to watch. I'm gonna be straight up honest. At one point, I cut this thing off and I started skimming. I couldn't do it. I could like the moment Sandman goes, they are men. They are men. I was like, I can't handle this. Mm-mm. Cause I knew, cause I've heard of this story. I didn't realize that they were caught the 25th. I didn't realize like, we're hearing about the story from like in school. And it was like, I remember hearing about the standoff.
You learned so much Black history in school.
But
I appreciate your school, bro.
I went to my school. Like they, like, I mean, where it was set in the middle of the hood, but they were like so pro
Black, so awesome
appreciation. The school doesn't exist anymore because they ran out of money, but
the school ran out
what?
Of money.
wait what
I went to
so the
went,
the school that taught Black history, that actually taught Black history,
it's
ran
gone.
Out of money and is gone.
It's
okay,
gone, man.
That
it's gone.
Checks out.
It's gone.
Wow.
They're like y'all doing too much. But I really did like this movie. I thought the acting was great. It's funny because I had to pause the movie when it was at the 12-minute mark because they hit everything so fast, so you knew exactly what this world was. It was like you knew they were military people. You knew they like the town hated them. You knew like the workers hated them. You knew the cops hated them. And it was literally 12 minutes when like Tyree was just like walking down the street by himself and he was scared, but then Bashir and Tolson come out and surprise him. I was like, please don't let them happen. So I thought like it had a lot of good imagery, like the ending scene, you know, of what happens to them. That final shot of them, I thought was like, you know, they were tried for treason. Treason. These men were being murdered and they were tried for treason. They should have killed more people.
It's because they shot.
It's because they shot the army
officers.
The officers.
See, yeah. But let me say the bad part. I was like, yo, honestly, Y'all already crossed this line. I mean,
but that, I think that exactly what you're saying right now is what is so interesting about specifically this movie and this reality. Like the fact that this shit really happened, and like the thing that you have to grapple with is like, do we just fucking do we
how far
kill
we
everybody?
Go.
You know, do we take over or what do we do? You know,
because again, I liked it. I thought everyone was really good. This one actor who I didn't know of before, Mo. I thought Mo was
great.
I thought he was fantastic. Also looked like an action figure as well. But yeah, I enjoyed this movie a lot. It was definitely hard to watch. So yeah, I'm gonna have to fill me in because I definitely put it on mute while I would skip a scene or two. Like, I just can't handle like when he got spit on. Okay. Anyway, Bray, what did you think?
Yes. I echo what you guys said. I mean, I appreciate this film kind of first and foremost. Like, I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad it was made. I'm glad, you know, hopefully some more people will see it. I do think the acting was very good. I would say the second half of this movie like hits really hard. But the first half is kind of slow. And maybe you needed that to build up to the end. But it does make for like a little bit of a harder watch, especially if you're watching at home. And there was a part of me that was like, because I wasn't familiar with the story at all, I was a little confused about, I guess, the historical context of like, because they were talking about the riots that happened in like St. Louis, Illinois, and then somewhere else. I forgot where the other riot was.
So I think they all happened. I used to have a map, which is terrible, but they had this map that came out of all the race massacre.
There was a part of me, and maybe it's too much violence on screen and the director just didn't want to show that much, but there was a part of me that was like, should we see that like to start off with, just to understand the context of the time? Because the beginning, I would say like the first like 10, like you were saying, like it does move very quickly in the beginning to a degree that I wasn't quite sure like who our main character was, or like, I mean, eventually I was like, okay, it's this guy, like, but it was just like, you know, usually in these kinds of movies, you get a little bit more sense of who everybody is before the story kind of starts. And I felt like the story was like starting already. And then like, I was like, wait, who is everybody? But eventually it got into this groove, and yeah, it was, you know, the end is very strong and it's crazy. It makes me want to know more about the, you know, historical stuff. I'm definitely excited to talk about it. These films are so, it's weird because it's like, you know, we don't want only films like this, you know what I mean? Set in these times where like Black people are treated so terribly. And yet there are a lot of times when I do watch them, I'm like, well, I do want to know about, like, I want to know about this. I think the difference is like, I would rather know about the stuff that actually happened than the like fake stuff, which I feel like we get sometimes, you know, or they'll base something on like kind of something that happened, but then like, you know, we get Green Book, you know, like instead of like a film like this, you know.
But you know which one wins the awards?
That's more complicated.
Bray? You know what wins the awards?
Yeah, Green Book won Best Picture.
God, doesn't it sound weird just to even say that shit? Ugh. In the history books.
I think everybody knows that was wrong. Like,
do you think,
like,
do you?
Doesn't everybody know
so.
At this point?
I mean, the director passed himself
the thing
on the
that's,
back.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, the thing that's weird is that, okay, like, even if that's true, that, like, everybody now knows because of the backlash that happened afterwards, it's like, you all voted for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, whatever. A majority of the Academy voted for it. It's, or at least rated it high enough so that it was going to win.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip.
Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earning can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine and join Earning's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Mm-hmm. Download Earning today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Let's dig in.
Yeah, I mean, it starts, there's like an opening scroll, and then I can't remember what the opening...
It tells you exactly... Like, the scroll is just... It just tells you exactly what happens. It's like 1917, the 24th takes over. The opening scene is like the 24th. I don't know if they're just getting to town, but it's like them...
Right. Yeah, they're like march. Yeah. They're like marching.
And it's like, we have a chance.
They were there to help quell race riots, weren't they?
They were there. It was like they were there to help police, but it was like, but they weren't. But there was no other black people in the town, so I wasn't.
Yeah.
Well,
there were black people in the town. Oh. There were black people in town, and but it also seemed right, like that's... it also seemed because I texted y'all as I was watching it, like it seemed like the major or whatever status Thomas Hayden Church's character had was saying, like, you know, we can set an example, you know, we have an opportunity to, you know, I guess sort of be upstanding black members of society, but also it seemed like also we can prove ourselves and then fight in the war. Like, it seemed like in that opening monologue he was trying to say, like, what we do here can prove that we are worth, you know, fighting on the front lines or whatever, yeah, or what have you.
Man, all these movies of black people just trying to defend a country that hates them, and they won't even get a chance to do that. That's just crazy.
I just pulled it up. It says, in the summer of 1917, white mobs attacked African-American communities in East St. Louis, Illinois, and Chester, Pennsylvania, with horrific acts of racial violence. In the wake of this tense racial climate, the all-black 24th Infantry Division arrived in Houston, Texas to guard the construction of Camp Logan, 3 miles outside the city. So, okay, that's what confused me. Those things aren't really related.
Yeah, so they weren't there to help the black people at all.
It made it sound like the way that I read it in the beginning was that because of these race riots, these people were deployed, but that's not it. They're just saying, hey, FYI, these race riots happened in this year. And while these race riots were happening, the 24th was set in, was in Texas, mm-hmm. protecting the building of a camp. And the, right. and the mission of the camp was specifically to train soldiers for service overseas in World War One.
Right, but sort of establishing like the climate is that these riots
just establishing
happened.
The climate.
And, yeah, and
which,
and so you, yeah,
I get, but it, I get, but like it's, I don't know how much that lets us. It's hard to connect that because there's. It's like first of all, it's 1917. You don't have to tell us that there's racial tension.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be like, hey, they don't want another race riot here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the black people are thinking like, about it. I don't know.
I get what you mean, especially because, you know, the movie's starting, we don't have any, we might not have any context for this, depending on if we went to Juras school, we know what we're right. about to see. And if we didn't go to Juras school, we're like, what is this? Right. But after the fact, I'm sort of like, I'm appreciative of them including that because it's like, having a true semblance of what all of these different massacres and riots and things were that were happening, but there were so many, you know, knowing that like these were going on. And then a few months later, like military people also did, you know, like even though this is isolated to what's happening in this town and to these people, I like appreciate them like even just telling us like, this also happened, you know, so that we get a sense of what it's like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah. I think there might've been a way to like, I don't know, have it happen in casual conversation or have right. someone talk about all the reports mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. can't believe it happened again. I mean,
and they showed like the newspaper at one point, you know, like,
cause I feel you. Cause it's one of those things where like you, yeah. Because I think, and also almost clearly stated, because to me, what I thought happened was, is that they were there because, they were there to guard, but also the reason they ended up being able to, quote unquote, police the town is that they didn't want black. I feel like the greatest fear is of like black people coming for a reckoning. And I was like to make sure like the blacks didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy. They sent them in that racist ass town with like billy clubs and not guns. At one point, like that was just straight.
Yeah, with no real authority.
Yeah. And Thomas Hayden Church, did he? I'm not calling them by their historical names. Okay. Not Sandman. Not Sandman either. That's going in the whole other direction. But he kept saying that too. That's what he keeps saying to buyers. He keeps saying like, I want you to be the like example. I want, you know, they'll, you know, you will follow the racial code and I mm-hmm. want you to also be that example. And then the thing that's unspoken that he had never said, but like, because I don't want black people to take over and like, and murder all the white people in this town or whatever it is that he's afraid of happening.
I mean, that's so crazy.
Boston was his name.
Yeah, Boston now is his name. It's something so crazy about that because every time I think about, I mean, even I know after we did, what was the name of that movie? The one about the Black Panthers recently.
Judas Messiah.
Yeah, Judas. And it's like, even thinking about like the government was just trying to just stop black leaders and black people from just even defending themselves. And it's something so interesting about this movie is that throughout this whole, first off, did that other dude, did he not look like Hitler, the other military guy to y'all? Did he not look like
his brother, Norton's brother that kept coming in? The guy who came over, who took over when. Yeah.
Did he not like Hitler to anybody? I was like, they purposely made him. Oh, I couldn't, man. I couldn't unsee it. I was like, they made this dude's hair flop like this.
I kind of know what you mean, yeah.
I was like, I don't know, man. But also, it's so tough because, like, let's start at the beginning. Anyway, it opens and they're literally they're military men, but they're basically in a chain gang at the start of this movie.
Yeah, they're digging ditches.
They're digging ditches, shirtless, and then the one dark-skinned dude wants to fight the light-skinned dude because he light-skinned, which is real. But I was like, that's how the movie started.
He's light-skinned and he's talking fancy.
Yeah, the movie just starts.
They jumped right into that. I thought this was great. Like, this dynamic was it was tough to watch, you know, but like it was very well written and depicted. Like, you know, he like pulls out his razor and he's like, I'm gonna kill you, and then he's like, I'm just messing with you, and you're like, ugh. I don't like this at all.
Don't pull that razor out.
No, not on me. And it's funny because Andre Lyon just stood there and I was like, is he gonna fight? Is he gonna be scared? Because listen, he a lion. You know what I mean?
His name is Boston. It's a different character.
I have seen Empire, and he be getting down on Empire. Okay,
this so
I
was like, my isn't man ain't Empire.
No.
This
is no, 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 no. I'm like, I ain't seen that other dude before, but Lion? Cookie? His mama's Cookie, bruh. She went to jail.
All right, well, okay.
Just saying. But then what happens after that? Because after that, they ended up like, now we kind of just see them all hang out a little bit. Cause I feel like we see them in town next. Right. Cause I feel like we see all the racist shit immediately.
It's very quick. It's like we have the guy getting peed on.
Bruh, crazy. Crazy.
They peed on, but they didn't just pee on him. My man was trying to eat his lunch. They peed on him while he was trying to eat his lunch.
Right.
Let me tell you, that's so sad about that is that dude in real life was there to serve a country and protect people like that. That's what always hurts me when we watch these movies about, like, you know, our ancestors, and like they're just trying to protect people who would rather pee on them or murder them. And it's like, man,
when Mo doesn't get up. Sorry, when Mo doesn't get up in the streetcar and the soldiers stand up and try to protect him, they point the guns at them and then say, like, you don't mean nothing. You mean less than a gnat to me or a fly to me or whatever. And it's just like to all the soldiers. Sorry, you were on a
but that's the same point. I was just like, it's amazing because these are like, you know. Some of this stuff just really ain't that long ago, man.
The idea that, like, you would have so much confidence that you would have so much confidence that you could do all this stuff to people who are literally holding guns in their hands. Like, they're not going to do anything, because if they do, then they'll get killed, and then more people will get killed as well. You know what I mean? It's just like, it just showed like how little protection Black people had for so long. It was like just this razor thin line. It's like you don't really have the law on your side at all. You know?
No.
Like the rules are not for Black people. You know?
Right. I mean, there's that. This is skipping ahead, but that dude, the cop, when the cop.
Yeah.
One of the cops, when he gets shot, he screams, it's the law, like, as he's getting, riddled with bullets. But it's like, it literally is the law that you mean nothing. Like, that a white life means more than yours. And it's just,
man, it was something. It was something when they got in the
formation.
Which
isn't even true at that point, but yeah, go ahead.
No, but
practice, it is true.
Yeah, because they kept saying, like, you know, Jim Crow is the law, Jim Crow is the law. And, you know, by Jim Crow laws, like...
Right, Jim Crow is the law, but it's not the law that a white person could kill a Black person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at that point, it's like, no, you're technically not supposed to be able to, but who's going to prosecute you? Who's going to arrest the person? Who's going to convict it? Like, a judge won't, the prosecutor won't, the police won't. So,
and that's why, like, the sheriff, I think it was the sheriff, that's why he's like, all right, arrest him. Like, arrest this man. And then, but then the second it goes to court,
and he
it's
only
like,
said arrest them because the dude was like, he was like, did you do this? And he was like, hell yeah, I did. If he just went no, then they would have been like, okay.
Yeah,
bye. Exactly. There's nothing you could do.
But he doubled down and said, I did. I killed him. And then still got off.
Yeah, he killed a man in the street.
Killed a man in the street. Had witnesses. Had the murder weapon. He confessed to it.
I mean, for people at home,
it's almost as if, yeah, yeah. Like, you want to give an analogy so they can understand.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think you need to understand. There's a racist white boy.
It would be like if today, ooh, if like
say it, Bray, somebody, say it in the
form. Somebody like I don't know, maybe killed a man like
two. Killed two people.
You killed two people and like on video, you know.
Mm-hmm. Into the third.
And then still didn't get convicted.
Why do I feel like y'all talking about a specific? Why does it feel like you're giving an analogy, but it feels like you're talking about an actual...
We're just saying, I think what Braylock is saying, and Braylock, please cut me off for no more.
Okay.
To be more specific, let's say, you know, this happened, you know, World War One, you know, 1917. Mm-hmm. Let's say you just jump. To 2020, right?
Okay, 2020. All right. Okay, I'm there. I lived through 2020. Yeah, okay.
2020. You know what I'm saying? You take a white boy with a gun, right?
Okay, all right. I see
white
it.
White boy with a gun. Uh-huh. He gets basically a pass by the police, comes in with his gun. Because technically, you can carry a gun if you're hunting,
but
he's
not hunting.
Now
to feel like a story that I actually know and I
He murders two
scenes.
People. He murders okay. two people. Mm-hmm. Injures and a third injures person.
Him. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then technically, the cops let him leave with the gun before they arrest him. And now he's on trial. Well, he's.
I
sorry,
feel like I also feel like
don't
the cops like say thank you like for your service to him as they're driving
man.
By. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
okay.
And then also, you know, we also live in a time where like let's just say that same person, the people he murdered, we can't call victims, but we can call them looters and things of that nature.
Like
so,
when this person goes to trial, it's almost as if the judge is on their side and not on the side of the innocent people that were murdered.
Yeah, but again, you know, this movie takes place in 1917. This happened in 2020. So, I mean, you know, things clearly have changed.
Yeah, in 103 years.
But, I mean, this movie is so tough because there's so many moments where it's like, I think there's so many nuanced performances, like the fact that Mo, his character, hated Boston just because he was smart. And I will admit, like we've talked about this on this podcast, like I remember growing up at a time and people hated, you know, like my friend Norman and stuff, because Norman, he just spoke different. He was from the same area. He just he wasn't super geeky. He talked very white and proper. Like I still to this day don't know why. Like he grew up in the same area. It's just like people used to come at Norman very heavy. And people would want to fight him all the time. And it's so crazy to see that kind of interaction. And the same interaction with Bubba. Bubba hated him too, you know?
I thought they did a great job of exploring what was going on with what was his name? About to call him Bubba. Giraffe.
I heard you.
Sergeant Hayes. What was going on with Sergeant Hayes? Because he has that turn of like, you know, like you're pretending. You weren't the one. And then he's like, you weren't the one pretending. I was.
that's real, man.
I mean, and I like what happens with Boston and Walker, but I thought that was so impactful that ultimately the sergeant who is like fighting against this and the whole movie is like is fighting for like some sense of order and whatever little bits of scraps that he had, you know, his stripes, his this, is that. But then he's like, but I actually hate all this shit. Like, whole time I would much rather. Yeah, I thought that was great.
100%. It's one of those things that is so tough because, you know, oh my God, it's so weird that we talk about it in order because there's so many good scenes. But like, yeah, his scene at the very end when everything happens is so heartbreaking, man, because there's so much pain in him. He has the scar that's on his face. And like, I almost wanted him to just like fight the good fight until the very end instead of going out the way he did. But, you know, it's what happened in real life. But
yeah. And I don't know how many, because everyone that was there, what it either was was killed or put in prison for the rest of their life. Like in terms of the like in terms of the storytelling that the movie presents, it's like once they kill the officers, that's when he realizes like, oh, like like
we're not making out of this.
We're not doing. Yeah, like they're they were never making it it out. But like, but once they kill the officers,
they went
like
over a huge. A it line. Was like a huge line because it was like to kill a police officer was pretty bad. Was already probably going to get most of them put in jail for the rest of their life, but to kill another officer of the army, now they couldn't even, there was like no justifying.
Yeah. They don't even have, they don't have the support. They could, they potentially could have.
It was like, we're the army, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like, now you're not even a part of the army. You're a coup.
Yeah.
You're a rogue organization, you know, that's trying to overthrow the US government.
There's nothing they could do. Listen, at the end of the day, those slave catchers were super racist. And they left him with no choice but to shoot him a couple times. And first off, when they went down on one knee and all lined up, I was like, this is insane. Y'all just murking this slave catcher. The reason I'm saying it like that is because this is so close to the time.
I mean, that's very true.
When they were formed, that they still
were slave
catchers.
Most of these
people,
a lot of these people who's parents and definitely everyone's grandparent probably was enslaved.
Someone was talking about the other day, like they were someone, I'm not gonna say the actor's name, but people were, these famous actors from like the 50s and 60s, people found out were super racist and sexist, and I was like, yeah, that's that happens a lot. Like your granddad's granddaddy might have been racist too. Like what do you mean? Like this is America, baby, come on now.
Yeah, it's like when you like read about the on-set behavior of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and like, and just one of the lines is like, you know, and because of his race, they were worried. Like, but it's not saying like Katharine Hepburn and the other Spencer Tracy. It's not saying that they are racist people and were mean to Sidney Poitier, but it is saying like, yep, and they were, and because of his race, it made them concerned. Like it just is true. Like that's just how people looked at other people, you know, up to a certain point, and you know, and some people still now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Sorry, I before we did this podcast, I was watching a doc on one of the most racist presidents, Ronald Reagan. So I'm just in a mode, you know what I mean? I'm just in it. We're movie had me wired.
I had no idea. I did not know what was happening. And I know this is like jumping to the riots parts, because there's a lot of stuff that happens before the, like they do, I think in terms of like,
yeah,
his relationship, the rest of the movie, Boston's relationship with Marie, like I really loved that. And like, and, you know, they do the, you know, like he has the ring and like, is he going to, is he going to do
that? Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I mean, it was just like, it was a little light though. It was like, I feel like we got like one good scene.
I agree. I almost feel like they put that into almost, you know, humanize them or something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that was real.
I don't know. I don't know either. It felt like a movie B story, like a very classic, like, all right, now we like, we'll add this love story, but like, we got her monologue about how she was sexually assaulted and her father blamed her.
You know, just to explain people in like regular time, let's just say when she was telling her story and people were like, oh, how could a dad blame the daughter, the victim? You can just skip to like 2014, 2015, when a woman went to court and took her assailant to court. And the judge was like, did you try closing your legs? You know, that's what the judge said to the victim in a modern day and era. You know, that's just... Man, you know, men, you know, the world sucks at the end of the day.
But I think there's a cry closing your legs.
Yeah.
It's just, man. What? what world does that judge live in? What world? Like, oh my goodness. No, you know what? No, you know what, sir? I didn't try closing my legs. So I will just, let me just, next time, thank you. I'm gonna do that next time. Next time.
You know, I was like, what did you think, jerk? Yeah, her story was beautiful. I really did like, James, I think you brought him up. Lucky, when he finally got to say his piece at the end.
I mean, because throughout he has a great energy. He's an interesting actor.
He's the one who got peed on, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they were doing this throughout, like throughout the movie, someone would be crying and their whole face would just be filled with like tears. This happened a few other times. But this particular monologue was just like, I felt his pain. He didn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to say anything. He also doesn't want to die. There's just so much shit happening right now in that monologue. And it's very beautifully done. Like when he points to Boston, I mean, he couldn't even say his name because he had said everyone's name, right? He had said everyone's name and then pointed to them.
When it got to Boston, he knew he was condemning him to death. I mean, it was very much a Judas moment. Like I think they called him that in the movie
as he was walking down. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else you. Tolson
said, "Good for him." Like that was it was like that's also true, like good for him, you know, like I don't
he
know
saved himself. I mean, it sucks that man was peed on. Like that was the most I always wonder, and I know coming from like a very modern, you know, perspective, like it's so easy to say what you would do when you faced that much racism and knowing like I mean, Bray, I think you said it. Like, at the end of the day, like, they were never getting out. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the moment they had to go on their route, they were going to either be killed, either unarmed, or they were going to fight their way out and then be killed later. So there was no out for them based on racism. And when I watch these movies, it's almost like, you know, Black people lived through such a time where you had to decide whether or not you were going to just try to survive. And at that point, it's whether you shoot back, which you can't do, or pray that if you turn the other cheek that like more harm won't come to you.
Right.
And that's just a sucky, like it's a lose-lose, man. Like all these movies.
Well,
this is
the thing. I mean, like this is a conversation that people have from time to time online. It's a really tricky, sensitive topic. So I'm going into it just prefacing that. But like this idea that like, well, Black people were scared into not reacting and not doing anything. And like, if we should rise up more, we should attack more, we should be more violent. And it's like, okay, but you have to understand this is the result of that is a war. And if it's a war you can't win, then that just means a lot of people die, you know? Now, there becomes moments and times where you have stuff like this, where it's like, the white people don't want to riot either. You're right. It doesn't look good that a bunch of them... the Black people in the army like killed citizens, you know, of this town. But like, it was the reality. It was like, you could fight back, but if you fight back, you know that you're probably going to die at, you know, I would say die at best, because at worst, it's worse. You know what I mean?
It's much worse.
It's like I hear that like so many people were sentenced to like life in prison. I'm like, that sounds worse to me than just getting. You know what I mean?
It's like, so funny you said that's worse. And my mind went to like those stories of people being
tortured,
the different ways that people would kill him and stuff. And that's where my mind goes. Like, again, like I know everyone brings it up, and I probably bring it up on every single podcast, but like, sorry, you go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, because think about what life in prison back then meant. Like, you know what I mean?
Killing a white cop?
It meant,
you know, sort of extended, like extended torture. In other words, you're not just in a prison cell. You're not just, you know,
Black people now, but especially then, Black people were still sub you know, they're not treated like human beings. But a black person who is a convict, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you literally have zero rights. You have zero rights, and they can do yes. anything they want to you whatsoever. Obviously, that's what the 13th Amendment is about. They could make you a slave. They do. They did.
Yeah, you know they did. I mean? That's the legend. Yeah. You are so you're a slave of the government again. Now.
Yeah.
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 Man. But there's so much other stuff in this movie that is interesting. It's like, it's weaved together. It feels like touch and go at times. I don't even know how to say it. There's just like, there's not like a streamlined feeling for this movie sometimes. Like, it doesn't, sometimes like one scene feel like one scene will happen and then another scene will happen. It feels like it doesn't connect. but there's interesting themes happening. Wait, what
were you for me, they were just trying to build up to like, we gonna show y'all why these niggas snapped. Like, right. like it was like every scene is just like.
Yes. And that was a lot of what they were doing. But then there's this whole, you know, there's this whole storyline with him. And I forgot the other guy's name, who's Matt, who hated him, you know.
Walker,
you know, and he and they have this kind of like nice scene where he's like, hey, man, like the reason I even went to France is because my parents were like murdered in this riot, you know, that happened.
Ugh.
And so the Guardians like sent him off there so that he could have a good education. And then he chose to come back, you know, because he felt this disconnection. He was like, well, he wanted to come back and help his people. So we have this whole, because him and the sergeant have the same kind of contentious relationship of like, oh, well, I know you. And he talks about somebody that sold them out, you know, when they were in the Philippines.
Yeah. Where was he? Yeah. Someone did sell him out. It was almost the same situation like in A Soldier Story.
Yes.
It was like getting sold out.
Right. And the sergeant looking at somebody and being like, oh, well. Well, this one is different because this one was looking at him being like, you think you're not black like us, or actually said the N-word. And there was this whole, which is so sad because it's like, he was like, oh, you think you're not a nigger. And it's like, well, yes, but I also think that you're not a nigger too. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
think
yeah.
either of us are like, yeah. I don't want us to feel like we're like this. And, but, in the society they're living in, they are, you know, and it's like, it's this horrible thing where it's like, what do you do? Like, you know, and that was so effective because especially towards the end when the guy, cause he was like, you can't even look, you know, the other officer, the white officers in the eye, you know, who's running, you know, me or you. Mm. And we have that scene
where he's shaking.
Cause he thinks there's a mob coming. And the other person's telling him to put the guns down. He's like, we're going to die if we do. But he can't look him in the eye still. And then finally, after he tells everybody to put their guns down, he looks him in the eye. And that disturbs the white officer, right? Like, which is crazy.
Dude, that scene was so powerful. Yeah. He was vibrating. Because could you imagine, like, you know this mob is coming to cure you. And he's telling you to do what?
Yeah.
Stand there?
To disarm yourself. I also thought it was wild that when there were unseen people shooting at them, I was shocked that the white captain or colonel or whoever was the general was like fire and like had them shoot in the direction of the like, I was shocked. That guy's whole, nothing about that guy's character told me that he was gonna try to fight.
He got shot. That's why he walked outside. He got shot in the arm.
Right.
He got shot. He's like, well, they ain't stopping because they shot in his office and they shot at him when he was outside. So he was like, these white people don't care about me either. Yeah. And to me, that's the thing that bothers me sometimes. It's like, but I'm happy they did that in this movie. Whereas they took away the ally and was like, this dude doesn't like them. And he's still not on their side. He just now realizes, like, just by associating with black people, they don't like me either. It's like my whiteness now does not protect me. I am getting shot at just like y'all. And I think sometimes what hurts is that, at least for me, what hurts sometimes is like, there is no way to erase or like hide if you are visibly black, like non-passing. Right. And there's so many people who can kind of like
skate by, which I know gives them a whole different scenario, but it's like associating with people who are like darker skin automatically makes you look a certain kind of way. It happens in housing. It happens in like when you apply to schools. And the fact that like it still exists today and this white dude experienced it and at that point was like, well, fuck it, shoot him back. Then like, it is something about the reserve and that the calm that black people have that like, even knowing that everything is stacked against us, we still just don't retaliate in the same way. You know what I mean? Like this dude experienced it for less than a minute and was like, fuck it, shoot him back. Whereas black people, like the whole movie, they were dealing with this whole movie, getting attacked, getting spit on, getting like one dude got killed, like another one got pissed on, and they still just are taking it, trying to be like the bigger people. And this dude, less than a minute, is like, well, they can't get to me.
Also literally like forced to be quote unquote bigger people. That's why I loved Boston's monologue when they're like, hey, you didn't, when Colonel Norton is like, you didn't fire your gun at all. Like, what was that about? You know, like, stand up. Why don't you testify? Like, you're going to be fine. I'll save you a lot. You didn't fire your gun. You didn't even fire your gun. And his whole, he is upset that he couldn't fire his gun because when he saw the white people that say the race, call him racist names, are murdering people in the streets, spitting on him, spitting on his face, et cetera, et cetera, he still saw a man. I was just like, oh my God. Like, and he's upset that he saw a man. Like, he couldn't believe. I thought that was that. I don't know if anyone has ever said those words ever in history, but it was so beautiful to put that in the mouth of that man. Like, it was amazing. I thought that was such a great scene.
And it's so powerful because they always, you know, one of the biggest things that always frustrates me is that, you know, in this, he kept saying, the agreement was we were supposed to be men. We were supposed to be soldiers, supposed to be men. And I think about every time a black man is called boy. You know what I mean? Like, I got called a smart colored boy once. And I know the dude said it like he was being nice. I'm dead serious. Like, I know he was an older white guy and I know he was saying it in a nice way. But it was something about it where like, yo, you have no idea. And this is kindness from you. Like, this is you being kind and trying to relate to me by saying, you know, you're a smart colored boy. What? Black folk, why? God.
So I'm trying to look up like some of the actual historical context of this. It seems like none of the names are real. Okay. So they didn't like, maybe just because they didn't want to
unauthorized.
Be like, these are the, it's the red tails like, all over again. Right.
Right. Apparently the night was more of a riot than the movie portrayed. Like, it unleashed kind of like chaos in the town, and then like white people were rioting, like they were like breaking stores and stealing stuff.
We should have saw that.
And then police,
absolutely think that it's
they probably had money,
but they didn't.
Because it's like to show a group of just like armed black soldiers walking up to people, literally just going out of their house going, what? And then being shot is very different than even if that's how it started, right? Yeah. Like, even if it started that way, it's very different than seeing them continuing to move around through riotous white people, you know, and then also mowing down people.
They should have used, if they didn't have any money, because I feel like they didn't, they should have used some footage from like when the University of Maryland won the NCAA tournament, or like when the Dodgers won here, like over in LA, or when like white people in Tampa started right. You know what? They should just look at when a sports team wins and all the white people who like toss cars on fire. That should be crazy to me. I remember I didn't go to the University of Maryland, but my friend did, and they won some tournament. Bray, you probably know more than me, but I think it was the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And these niggas was like, they were like hanging off of like the lights,
like the street lights and like flipping cars and burning shit. And you know how many of them got shot?
For what purpose? Like, why do
James,
you...
James, ask me how many of them got shot. Ask
how many
me.
Of them got... Did any
Ain't
of them get
Ain't not one get shot.
Okay, right. Okay.
You know what they did? They I got interviewed. They sure. were interviewed. So you saw all these white boys screaming and stuff on the news. And I'm like, you ain't going to shoot none of them, at least in the ass? At least shoot... At least shoot them with a baggie in the head or something. Nothing. Nothing. Not one shot, man.
A baggie in the head could cause a lot of damage, though, too.
I mean, I know, James. I'm just saying, if it would have been us, if that would have been Howard winning the NCAA tournament, them niggas would have showed up with guns like, don't y'all dead. I don't want to see a Dougie. I don't want to see, y'all better not Dougie. Y'all better not walk it out. Man, you ain't going to see nothing.
So here's another thing. This is just interesting to me. So let's see. 15 civilians were murdered, 4 soldiers. 2 black soldiers were accidentally killed by the fire, which just shows how much chaos there was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it lasted 2 hours. And then also, this is an interesting fact. They said that, so 13 black soldiers were hung, right? And 63 were given life sentences. But then the next year, in September of the next year, six more soldiers were hung. And this is saying, I'm reading this from some university. Prairie View A&M University, which is like a Texas university. This is saying that there was no conclusive evidence that the people who were hung initially had anything to do with, you know, leading the riot. But the 6 people who were hung a year later were the apparently the actual people who like were leading it.
I mean, so according to this report, the first 13 were just named by someone or people that were captured.
There was they said there was no conclusive evidence or reliable witness testimony that any of the first group of executed men had even participated in the riots, let alone were the leaders of it. But the final 6 men who were killed a year later were identified, I guess, from like eyewitness reports of having fired shots at civilians.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
The movie does say that 19 in total were like, it does say that eventually more people were, but it doesn't say that little bit of extra.
And that
tidbit.
Means there was no, this character that like points them out. It right, seems like was, that's not real.
Yeah, there might not have been a guy who did that.
Or maybe, I don't know. What?
It would have been more effective if they would have treated it like real Americans. Like, oh, they were black. Just take them in. I mean, that's what happened with so many towns. It was like, yo, like, burn the whole town. So many black towns got burned down because it was like one person might have did something. It was like, all right, we're not going to try to find proof. Burn everything. They don't need it. No way. At this point, they were like, all these blacks are uppity. They got suits and stripes. Kill them all.
So, okay. This is the real account of what happened that day. They were, those two guys, those two police officers were chasing a man who was accused of participating in a dice game. And their
right,
chase
because you can't be in a dice game. I mean, if you're black, you can't illegal. Be in a dice game. Okay.
So then their chase led them to a house where there was a woman there who was thinly clad, this says, and they accused her of hiding the man. Then they dragged her out onto the street. And then one of the soldiers, you know, came over and was like, what's going on? And it was questioning them and also asking if he could get clothes for the woman. And they pistol whipped him and beat him up and then arrested him. So
right. this is that sequence with the baby, right? Like this is mm-hmm. that sequence that they that they put it like this. I feel like.
Well, here's my other thing about that is, wait, did the real incident actually start from not a black soldier tackling and beating a police officer, but just coming over and asking. And yeah. What was that for? Is that for us to feel like the black people were more aggressive? Yeah, and like fighting back a little bit more, or is that
feels like a weird change to make?
That's a studio note being like, it has to be more that started this. Like, what else happened? Make it dangerous.
But it also like, but also every bit of truth that Bray's reading right now is making it seem like they are really making it hard for you to like if you don't connect with this idea of like being subjugated as a people and like trying to figure out how to rise above that, like if you don't connect with that on any level, then the end of this movie, you're just like, why are they shooting all of these people? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't even agree with.
Okay. So this must be the guy who they based Boston off of. His name is Corporal Charles Baltimore. It's kind of funny.
Okay,
just changed his name to
Go Baltimore.
So Charles Baltimore then inquired of the soldier's arrest. Then he was beaten and shot at and ran and then got caught. And then a rumor spread that he was murdered. Let's see. Okay, and then this whole thing about collecting the rifles and making and disarming the soldiers was real. But those soldiers basically took up arms and went to the police to get the sergeant out of jail. Let's see. Oh, no. To get the officer out of jail. To get, what's his name?
To get Baltimore out of jail?
Yes.
That's very different than what happened.
And then let's see. Henry had at first tried to prevent the men from taking arms, however, at some point joined them. Who's Henry?
I think that's homeboy.
Is that supposed to be Walter?
That might be the sergeant.
Walker.
And then let's see. Blah blah blah. However, at some in their rampage, one of the victims was a white child who died after being hit by a straight bullet. I guess they must have encountered people immediately and just started shooting people. Let's see. Another victim who may have been mistaken for a Houston policeman. Yeah.
The movie does this thing where they try to set up the understanding that there are like vigilante townsfolk that consider themselves like police. And then also the real police force, you know, and so they like literally have that line where like, remember, you're civilians. And then we see the men gun them down. But it seems like the reality is a little bit more that like some of the civilians are like people like this young boy who, you know,
got hit by
a straight bullet. Like what, you know, and I don't know. It's not to poo-poo this movie because I enjoyed it, but it's a little dangerous to be like, it's a little dangerous to rewrite this ending in this way. I feel like it's
also
like,
because if this is real, look, I don't know if this is real, but this thing says that all the men entered not guilty pleas, and throughout the ordeal, even to the gallows, maintained their innocence. Some witnesses may have been coerced into testifying against their fellow soldiers. Others promised leniency or immunity. Others merely unreliable. But none of the testimony was conclusive that any of the men on trial had participated in the event.
So that's why you have the one character that do that. Because there is some historical accuracy to that.
But this movie would have been really cool. Because again, I like the movie as well. But now I'm thinking about it, knowing these facts, is that it almost would have been better as a court drama with flashbacks to the event itself. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
You get a flashback to like how the townspeople treated them. You could also have like, you know, different perspectives.
Because the other weird fact about this is it is the largest murder trial in U.S. history, because it had the most people on trial for murder at one time. Because it was 100 of these men.
What about they never did it? What about? Oh wow, that's right, because they tried all of them.
Yeah, they were all on trial.
Yo, that means I could have been back at the barracks and still got tried.
Right, and that's what. And I'm sure some people were. You know,
I mean, also for people at home, if you're like, oh, how could you get tried for just like being in the area? I remember I didn't rewatch it, but I was reading this interview with the Exonerated Five, and I keep forgetting that one of them literally just accompanied his friend and ended up with the longer life sentence. You know what I mean?
My man, and tried as an adult. At least how it's presented in and When They See Us is my man literally just went.
He just went with his friend down. He was like, yo, he wasn't there. But the thing is like, the thing they had in common from what Barry was doing earlier is like, yo, they just happen to be black. That's it. I'm surprised they didn't get a civilian and was like, yo, he was there too. I saw him with a gun, you know. You know what, black people, if you're listening to this, just know we love y'all, man. Because every time I be thinking about stuff and I'm thinking about how far we've come, every time someone talks about, like, you know, we lack a culture or a history, it's like, yo, there are certain reasons why. I mean, I say for me, for instance, there's certain reasons why, like, I technically don't know where in Africa we came from. Like, you can find it, but, like, we don't have a strong lineage there because we were ripped away from that. Like, it's like, we have suffered through so much and still rise. And it's like, yo, that is a feat that I don't think a lot of other races give us credit for. I really, really don't. And I mean that in a way where it's like, I hear people always comparing who has it worse, which sucks. And it's like, bruh, we built a country that don't even like us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think about that all the time. Like, there's so many artifacts. I was like looking at, Savannah, Georgia, and I was watching some video about all the architects, the docks, and the docks that people said were so beautiful are literally the docks where the slave boats came in on. And I was like, oh my God. And they were like, oh man, it's so beautiful. It has a layer under here. And I watched another doc. I was like, oh yeah, this is where they actually kept the slaves when they came. I was like, oh my goodness. But black people, that's all I got to say for you. Just know you're loved. Just know you're loved. I don't have anything to say to Hollywood because Hollywood's still fucking up.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, look, this is based on history. So I'm not going to put steel in it.
Oh, that's good, James.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to put steel in it because it's based on history. Great. Life.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do it. Like, I would do it. Like, if this was a different movie, mm-hmm. okay. I would do it. You know, yeah, I would talk a little bit. Something like steel would be, he's like there and he like the basketball. He throws the basketball through a whites only sign or something. Like,
but you're not doing that.
Something like that. But I'm not going to do that. Not right now. Great. Not tonight, perfect. You know, because this is based on a real story.
Right. Okay. So true then story. That means it's time for the cause.
I'm not going to do it. So you can, yeah, let's do it. It's just time for the cause.
Yeah, time for the cause.
I'm not doing it tonight.
Yeah. So it's time for the cause. We review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel that a film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, we're going to raise up our ratings for the 24th. One. Two.
Do 2.5. I need one more second.
Three. What you doing? Okay, black fist.
I wasn't sure
if you should give it a palm or not.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I'll say this. Because it didn't make money, I was like, yeah, maybe palm or something, you know, or because it was one of those under the radar movies. But I don't know, man. Like, you know, this was a really big, like, you know, glow up for some black writers.
That's real. That's real.
And director. And the talent on screen, it was just so, was great. Oh, no, he's directed before.
He directed too?
This might be, unless this movie is a short.
Yeah, he has a short.
No, this movie's 2 hours long. He directed. Anyway, regardless.
All right.
Well. Regardless, you know, there's a glow up for some you know, black actors and writers and I just I don't know, and it's a story that even though they changed some things, there's some inaccuracies here and there. You know, it's something that we should be aware of and like made me want to go and read more about it as soon
as
I was finished
watching.
There's
a documentary about it apparently.
Oh,
really?
Great.
Yeah,
and so,
I think like
and
a TV documentary that's on like YouTube.
Then there it is. I mean, that's enough for me. Like if it makes people want to find out more about it, you know, from not a, you know, because this is a movie. Like, I can't be like, so this is a movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then do your job to look up the real shit.
Right.
I agree with you. I figured. Yeah, man, it wasn't about whether they made money or not. It was like the story was interesting. Like we learned something. Though the performances were great. I thought every one of the people in here should have been in a superhero movie. We had Bashir. We had Tolson. That's good enough. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I gave it a black fist because there's so many actors in this who aren't super well known yet. And, you know, any credit like this is definitely helpful. Even if it wasn't seen by as many people, it was made and it was a great kind of story to tell. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening.
Read up on it. Seriously, I feel
up on it.
Read up on it, man.
Okay, for real though, Kevin Wilmot has 14 directorial credits.
All right, my bad.
There's some docs, there's some shorts. There's a TV movie, but he's been directing for a while.
You rate and review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. This is an essay. this is by Bob, Greg, Hope, one of my new favorite podcasts. This is one of the best podcasts out there. I'm sure of it. Started listening to you guys a couple months ago, and I really love your commentary on movies. You provide a refreshing perspective on film that's hard to find in other places. I feel like a lot of film criticism on YouTube and in podcast forums like these are taken up by white folks, especially white men. And while white men can have some diversity, it's wonderful to hear black people, especially black men, talk about films specifically in the context of race. I'm multiracial myself, but majority black, and I consider myself as such. So when I listen to your episodes and your commentary, it feels so genuine and true to my own experience as a black person that I'm always entertained and pleased by whatever you have to say, even if I disagree with some of your opinions. Side note, Gerard was 100% right in the Brother from Another Planet episode when he was talking about well-meaning white folks in movies about black struggle and oppression.
I don't want to bring this up again.
And it's frustrating to see sometimes.
I don't even remember what you're talking about, but you know what? Thank you.
We actually didn't really talk that much about the white guy, the well-meaning white dude in this movie, but
they took his ass out the movie. They took him out.
Well, I actually thought that was.
And at the end, he wasn't nothing.
Nope.
It's funny that you started fast forwarding after that, or started skimming ahead after that, Gerard, because it was the second he started doing that monologue, I was like, they did it again. But then he immediately leaves after that. Like, he immediately leaves. And so they're almost doing the opposite, like where you think we're about to get this other, like, another,
bro,
like.
You think he's going to be like, I'm staying. Like, damn my career. I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, not an athlete. He's like, well, I tried. I tried more than most white people, and that's why I'm a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, let me finish this. I wanted to offer a different type of suggestion than you normally get. I'm a black trans woman, and I know your podcast is called Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood, but I would love to hear your thoughts on films that deal specifically with the experience of black women and black trans women. Films like Fences, Tangerine, Little, She's All That, and so much more.
I think we did Fences and She's All That, right? We haven't done Tangerine.
We have not done She's All That. We haven't done Tangerine. And we haven't done Tangerine,
and we did do Little and Fences.
Fences.
I would really enjoy your perspective on those films, maybe for the month of March, International Women's Month. Anyway, you fellas are great, and you've provided a lot of inspiration for the creation of my own podcast sometime soon. Okay.
All right.
So thank you for that. Okay. My name is Flora. I hope you all have a great day. Gerard especially. Okay, you didn't need it.
Wow.
You didn't need to not give fucks.
You know what?
Right. What is the point of saying that?
I needed that.
I can't wait for your next episodes. Okay.
She knows we're going to read this out loud.
I don't
know
why.
She does know that.
Why can't...
was hurtful.
She's all that? Wait, this is a white lady. Am I thinking the wrong movie?
She's all that, the movie with Amanda.
I thought it was.
He's all that. That's the one I'm thinking.
You're thinking a new one, but She's all that is Freddie Prinze Jr. And when the woman comes down the stairs.
And Rachel Lee Cook.
Wait, is Rachel Lee Cook a minority?
What does that have to do?
No, she's not. She's not. Gabrielle Union is in that movie, though.
She's all that is the movie where it's literally the movie where they're like, ugly art girl, and she takes her glasses off and puts her hair down.
Yep.
You're like, okay.
All right, James.
Well, that's just what you're like at that point. You're like, okay.
You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We got links to merchandise. We also have a defunct Patreon, years worth of episodes on that. We don't do new episodes for it anymore. So if you subscribe to that, just know that's coming up. And we have like merchandise and stuff, TeePublic. So find that through our website. You can follow me at John Braylock, JONBRAYLOCK.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Draw Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The ghost with the most past due child support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!